and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in the Detroit suburb of Rochester Hills say the man suspected of opening fire at a splash pad was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. An 8-year-old boy was shot in the head and is in critical condition. His mother also listed in critical condition. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard said the motive for the shooting is unknown.
There appears to be no connection between the victims and the location whatsoever. The person doesn't live in Rochester Hills. He went to a Rochester Hills park.
Two people were killed after a shooting that followed an altercation at a Juneteenth celebration near Austin, Texas. Police there looking for suspects. Southern California feeling the impacts of a wildfire that broke out in Los Angeles County Saturday. At least 1,200 people were evacuated. There are red flag fire warnings today in other western areas, including Utah and Arizona. 55 million people in the U.S. under heat alerts for today or the week ahead. This is ABC News. Authorities in Oklahoma arrested a man in last summer's murder of a Maryland mother of five.
Rachel Moren left for a run last August, her body found a day later in a Maryland drainage ditch. Saturday, Harford County Sheriff Jeffrey Gaylor announcing the arrest of 23-year-old Victor Hernandez.
It's my understanding that this suspect, this monster, fled to the United States illegally after committing the brutal murder of a young woman in El Salvador a month early in January of 2023.
Gaylor says Hernandez is also the suspect in a Los Angeles home invasion. He was arrested in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dave Packer, ABC News.
He's charged with first-degree rape and murder, being held without bond. An El Paso, Texas woman sued the U.S.-based resort operators of Sonoran Sea Resort in Mexico after her husband was killed and she was seriously hurt when the pair were electrocuted in a hot tub last week. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A new report shows Wisconsin does a great job providing resources to keep some kids happy and healthy. However, white kids are benefiting the most, while research shows the Badger State is the worst in the nation for black families. Mike Moen reports.
An annual report suggests Wisconsin has a strong foundation in creating positive outcomes for kids. But low test scores and racial disparities show not all youth are faring well. The N.E. Casey Foundation's latest Kids Count data book ranks Wisconsin 11th in the country for child well-being. The state saw a slight dip in its child poverty rate, falling to 13%. However, Emily Mayota of the statewide policy group Kids Forward says the positive results mask persistent disparities for the Badger State.
Wisconsin remains the worst state in the nation for black children and families.
For example, black children were 29 times more likely to live in high-poverty areas than white children. Those disparities also spill over into education. The report contends the pandemic is not solely to blame for the country's worsening educational outcomes. The Casey Foundation's Leslie Bossier says educators, researchers, policymakers, and employers who track students' academic readiness have been ringing alarm bells for a long time.
The pandemic erased decades of increases in math scores. However, if you look over the 35 years that we've produced the data book, we've never seen a significant percentage of children who were either proficient in fourth grade reading or Prop Basic Math.
The report calls on all states to expand access to intensive tutoring for students who are behind in their classes and missing academic milestones. Wisconsin did see a worsening rate of young children not attending school. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some storms, then quite a bit of sunshine will develop, and that will warm us up pretty quickly. Lower 90s expected this afternoon on this Father's Day. Our heat index between 95 and 100. The wind's a little breezy. More showers and storms tonight, upper 60s. Currently 62 degrees.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Dana Pelabon will join us.
The Dane County Executive Race is heating up.
Talk to you Monday morning.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. All my friends and relatives in four directions. I sounded like an auctioneer there for a second. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, what a beautiful day here in the Twin Cities. I was at the Four Sisters Market, and what a glorious day there. And then, Haley, I also stopped into that new restaurant in the Indian Center, the Gatherings.
Oh, wow. Gatherings Cafe.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy good. Had a little, I'm eating a lot of bison lately. I hope Wendy's not listening. But I had one of their sandwiches and some chips, some sacred chips and some sacred salsa. And some sacred water and, you know, water's life. And it was awesome. And then, so close to the Four Sisters Market. It's a block away. So, you know, I got my steps in. I was walking back and forth and, you know, looking like a vagrant. But I still made it okay back to the car and back to St. Paul.
Wow, look at you, a baby elder just out there walking the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue.
Exactly. Let me get that applause button here real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So our friend Robert Lilligren will be hopefully coming on in a little bit, and it was good talking to them. Their things are happening there, and, you know, seeing our Ho-Chunk sister who's running the market. And
yeah, Destiny.
Right. And of course, we have that art gallery that's just beautiful. And the Indian Center had an art gallery. I went in and saw at the Indian Center Charlie, and his store is open and he's doing really well there. So what a beautiful building. And it's a good day to be Native.
Yeah. So, yeah, our listeners out there, the Minneapolis American Indian Center had their grand reopening on May 1st of this year. And they have Gatherings Cafe. They've got, Woodland Indian Crafts is Charlie Stately's store.
Yep.
And yeah, the gallery. I have yet to go to the gallery at the Indian Center, but I'm excited to check that out as well. Was the bison pretty good at Gatherings Cafe?
No, it was really good. It really, really, really was good. And it's funny, too. You know, we're in such a small community here in the Twin Cities, even though we have 50,000 natives in the Twin Cities. But we have a community where we all kind of know each other. And the cook that, and I don't know if that's the right terminology, the chef or maybe the sous chef, I'm not too sure, worked at Old Omni.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, and I had her sister or his sister as one of my past students, and he came out and talked to me, and it was really nice. And because I went there when it was kind of slow, because it was like lunch was over, and I stopped in. And it's just cool how we're all connected. And, you know, I've been to Omni lately and, you know, went there by myself and got a good seat. And, you know, I wasn't the guy with the newspaper under his arm mumbling. I was talking to everybody in a good way.
Well, that's good. Yeah. If you haven't been out to Omni, they are like a 5-star all native cuisine. And it's amazing.
Yeah, and I hope Robert comes on, because one of the things I wanted to talk to him about, too, is that we were hanging out with Sean Sherman and Sterling Harjo, who is the main producer and owner of Reservation Dogs. Yeah. And it was really fun hearing his story last night at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis.
I saw that.
Yeah. And the day before, I was at the food lab in the global market where Omni and Sean Sherman have really taken a big space in there. And there were some free hors d'oeuvres. And you know how I like free and hors d'oeuvres. And had a great time. Ran into a lot of people. Ran into a few Ho-Chunks, too, which is always cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always great to see our Ho-Chunk relatives out in community. I saw... Was Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan was there, right?
Well, she spoke. She was in the audience, and so was her husband, Tom, and her daughter. And after Sterling did his kind of story about, you know, kind of his background, and his background's filled with Minnesota connections.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they got Dallas Goldtooth, of course, working with them in the 1491ers. And he talked about, and Bobby Wilson, and he talked about how that all came to fruition. And, hey, there's our friend Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. And let me try this once, Robert. NACD.
Yay! For
people that aren't watching us on Facebook Live, Robert did the death signal for with the handshaking, the applauding. Hey, we were just talking about last night and the last few nights with Sterling and your friend, the Lieutenant Governor.
Oh yeah, that was really something. I apologize for being late. I left the office kind of late, and then on my bike ride home, the chain came off my bike, so that delayed me putting that back on. But yeah, that lecture and the conversation last night was incredible. It was so rich.
Yeah, it's fun too. And then there was a like a private meal afterward, and I was begging to find out where that was.
Well, sorry you weren't invited. Some of us don't quite make the cut. But it was a tiny group. It was like 10, 12 people at Guy Noy, right by Loring Park. And if you haven't been there, I'd highly recommend it. I love that place. Fairly new. Within just shortly after opening, it was named one of the best restaurants in the country by the New York Times. But yeah, talking about Harjo's experience here, and he credited Minneapolis for launching his comedy career.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't just blowing smoke. I mean, he had stories to tell. He brought the receipts.
Yeah, good way to put it. And they were very funny receipts too. And I really liked the insight when he was talking about his Uncle Brownie was based on his father.
Yeah. It's like,
what the hell? Jeez.
Right. It really sounds like directly based on him. And then, you know, a lot of the people in Reservation Dogs were his actual family.
Right.
And then a lot of the characters were based on actual family. And so it was kind of a cool, tight circle.
Well, I was hoping that there'd be a little Q&A from the audience, but the Lieutenant Governor did a great job with asking some questions. But one of the things, I don't know if I was talking to you, Robert, but I know, you know, Bobby Wilson stayed at Enda Young and worked at Enda Young.
Sure.
And Dallas Goldtooth worked there, too, when they were young. And the funny thing is that one episode about cheese being in the home for, you know, Bobby Wilson wrote that. So it was kind of a takeoff from Enda Young. I wanted to ask about that.
Nice. And for folks who don't know, Enda Young is a housing project in St. Paul that provides shelter and permanent housing for Native youth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that would have been fun to ask, but hey, we're going to take a quick break here, Robert. And I'm so glad that you made it here and that you're bike. No. Haley and I were talking nonsense. We were keeping the mic warm for you.
Appreciate it. On the topic of res dogs too, I just want to shout out a big happy birthday to Gary Farmer. That was yesterday.
Oh, wow. Cool. We'll have Gary on again. Gary's one of our guests, to our fun guests. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, CEO and president and all-around great guy. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Just showing off there, huh, Haley? NACD, got it.
NACD.
Yeah, good, Robert. And I see you updated the Four Sisters logo, so.
Thank you for noticing, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, Haley's on top of it. You know me. I take my little nappy before the show, and then I ask her what the show is about. So then
it's a team.
Were you able to take a nap while I was biking against the wind and fixing my bike chain? You were napping?
Yeah, I sneak those in because I don't ride a bike, you know, and I can get around a little quicker. You know, I'm in the capital city, and you're in a bike haven trail there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it is. It's good to bike.
Well, not only that, you know, I just have to commend you too. When I think of biking in Minneapolis, I think of that project you worked on when you were a city council member, and you know, the underground kind of bike path. What is that called again?
The Midtown Greenway.
Yes.
I actually worked on it before I was a city council member. I was on the board of the Midtown Greenway Coalition that advocated to get it constructed. And then phase one was actually constructed before I got elected. But then phases two and three came while I was there. And on a big public works project, there's always all kinds of issues that need to be resolved.
Yeah. Well, you know, the state and the local area are lucky to have you. And And I mean that truthfully, because again, you know, we joke about all the committees that you're on, but if we're not there, we don't have a chair. We need people like you to be not only that experience, but just to be at the table and stand up for Native issues and what's right, because Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Oh, and then of course, bringing the next generations in, right? And creating more access. And really, I've just been thinking more and more, it's not really just the next generations, people even of my generation, you know, providing access, coaching people how they can use their voice in a policy environment or to change a system. And yeah, that's kind of what we do at NACTI, right? We're a systems change organization that grounds in community through our projects and programs, like Four Sisters Farmers Market today, which was beautiful. I can't, and All My Relations Arts Gallery, our Make Voting a Tradition, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing too. I've been listening to you and we've been talking for quite a few years here on Native Roots Radio. And I feel like in the beginning, it was just like an onion peeling away and all the different layers of what Native American Community Development Institute does. And I mean, I'll even say this, you helped me with my campaign when I ran for office in my tribe. And you do that in a local level and national level, just part of your mission.
Yeah, and not NACTI's mission. That's my own personal personal work, and I enjoy that just because when I first ran for public office and started a campaign, nobody would help me, you know, and especially experienced political people. I was challenging the system, and, you know, one or two would be quietly with me away from any kind of public eyes and things. But generally speaking, very few people would help me. And I made the determination then that if I get elected and I'm going to make sure that I'm sharing what I learn, that I'm bringing other people along, that I'm creating access, especially for BIPOC people, especially for women. And I've done that. And even if I know that I'm very unlikely to support a candidate at the end of the day, if they ask to meet with me and sit down, I'll meet with them. But I'll tell you this, Robert, one of the joys of working with you is that you actually listened to what I said. Not everybody does. But
I appreciate that. You know, I think, you know, from my own life story, I've learned the hard way that anyone can learn from their own mistakes. It's geniuses that learn from others. And I'm not calling myself a genius, but you get the vibe.
Very cool. And yeah, so that's something we do. And we may expand some of our work at NACTI. We're in conversations right now to allow us to do more political work. You know, it's kind of a heavy lift to organize that part of a nonprofit, but we've talked about it for years. Some stars are lining up. People in the community feel like NACTI is the place to incubate, you know, this kind of work. And so we'll see where it goes. I'll keep you posted.
That's awesome. And I know from my nonprofit work with other organizations, it's a different, it's like a 403B or something that you become, right?
That it's a C4, 503,
yeah.
C4.
I was close. One of those
right,
letters.
Are close. But there's a ton of difference. You see C7, that's like a business association, but